you know that God has plans for you? He has dreams and He has hopes and He has future. And we're going to mention some of that because I felt the onward and upward, or the upward and onward message this morning to share with you. Because God's called us into intimacy with Him. He's called us into a relationship with Him, but He's also called us to go forwards. Onward Christian soldiers. And even that picture that Margaret had of Jehoshaphat. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His love endures forever. They're giving thanks. There's power in that. And they were praising, and He's good and He lives and His love endures forever. Imagine just speaking about God's love and the enemy being routed. Yeah. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of praising God and thanking God. There is certainly power in praise. And so this morning, I'm going to actually start with an unusual place, because I'm going to start with the Roman road. And I'm just going to mention a few scriptures in reestablishing this journey that God's brought us and is bringing us on. And sometimes we think, okay, it's good to revisit the gospel. It's good to know the gospel and have a gospel confidence and a gospel assurance, because the gospel is good news. It's great news. I don't know why we limit it to good news. It's great news. It is the best news of all. And so when you look at the Romans road, it starts off with a human problem, and mankind needs to recognize. You've got to start with realizing you have a need and you have a problem. If you don't know that, then it's like, well, okay, it's not as powerful, but it confirms the state of every human as sinful and the state of God as holy. The state of God as holy. And so it starts off in Romans 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And you could tie that into other scriptures. All we like sheep have gone astray, each and every one of us to our own way. So there's every one of us is carrying that sinful nature. And it goes on in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. After establishing all have sinned, the first half of Romans 6:23 explains the depth of this problem and the consequences. For the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation, and even physical death. And so when we look at the consequences, there's thankfully in that Romans 6:23, in the second part, there's hope. It hints at the hope that we have as sinners through salvation through Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the gift of God. It's a gift, a free gift. And I think that when we start at that place of recognizing a human problem, we've got to go into the next, is humanity's hope in Christ, the hope that we have. But God demonstrated His own love for us, Romans 5:8, in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're at our worst. Can you imagine, while we were still sinners, if your life was put up on the screen and everything that, every thought, not just every deed, but every thought and everything that you possibly ever did that you thought, oh, to God, I wish that was never a part of my life. And the shame, and you almost don't want to go there. And you don't want others to go there. Imagine if that was on the screen. But while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And sometimes we think we've got to make ourselves presentable. We've got to make ourselves acceptable. We've got to somehow be able to come into a place of cleaning up our act, if I can put it that way, before we can accept this gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, the gift of God, the gift of salvation. And so then it goes into the sinner's response, and that's Romans 10 and verses 9 to 10 and also verse 13. You see, once we recognize we need a Savior and we recognize that Jesus Christ is that Savior, we can respond by moving into that third part of the Romans road, calling out to Jesus. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's possible for everyone. God would have all to come to a knowledge of Him and none perish. It's not like there's a select few and, oh, it's only for them. God would have all to come to a knowledge of Him and none to perish. His ability is to save everyone. And that says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then the results of salvation. You see, it speaks of peace and it speaks of justification, the two results. when a sinner gives their lives to the Lord and declare and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through faith in Jesus, we can enjoy peace with God. As sinners, we can no longer be separated from a holy God by sin. Therefore, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And then it goes into Romans 8, 1. Therefore, now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, for the Spirit of God has set us free from the law of sin and death. We were condemned through sin and destined for death. With faith, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're gifted with eternal life. Friends, sometimes we end there, but we need to go further, because Romans 8 says in verse 38 and 39, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, I almost wanted to pray this morning, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love towards you this morning, nothing can separate you from that love. We can choose to step back, but God's love is still there. Look, God's love is still there. And then I thought Ian McKellar this week brought this out, and I love this because to me, I remember a song that I think, was it Tom Ingalls or somebody sang it? Be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. You know, sometimes it's good to remember scripture through songs, but I can remember that, wow, you know, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Grace of the Lord Jesus will be with you. We've got to be wise about what's good, innocent about what is evil. That's in today's world. How do you do that? Help us, Jesus. But you see, when I look at that, and I know we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, in the age of discontentment, people are searching for hope, searching for peace. There's lots of clouds of uncertainty around. Brexit isn't the only one. There's clouds of doubt. There's clouds of fear. There's clouds of discontent and disillusionment. But you see, in the midst of that, God is moving and working out his plan. What clouds are you facing right now? The Bible tells us in Nahum 1:3, the clouds are dust of his feet. He rides on the clouds. He makes, in Psalm 104, verse 3, he makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. I don't know if you used to be a child and used to see pictures and clouds, you know, and used to try and think, okay, what is that one? Especially if you're lying with your in the grass and you're looking up and you're seeing these fluffy clouds, you're trying to see things, and maybe it was just a child thing, but it's never too late to have a happy childhood. You can still see things in the clouds. See the chariots, see the things that, you know, God's painting a sky, so when I encourage you, God is able to remove those clouds. The love of God is able to blow those things away. Perfect love dispels those fears and drives them away. And just a fresh wind of the Spirit blow through. They were in fear. They were behind locked doors so often, even in the upper room. And then God, by the power of His Spirit, blows through that place and they become as bold as anything. They really do. In fact, this week I showed a picture with someone of, have you ever seen the picture of this male lion walking in front of buffalo? And these buffalo have horns and they are dangerous. They can kill lions. They really can. And there's a herd of buffalo and the lion is walking directly, this male lion is walking nonchalantly in front of them. Hasn't even looked at them. Hasn't even given them a second thought. That's our God, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And man, when he has that authority, it just oozes authority. It is like, in other words, you're not going to mess with me. You can have a whole lot of buffaloes up against you. And anyway, I could say something along rugby lines, but I'm not going to say it. You see, God is a redeemer whose arm is not too short to save. He reveals his mercy and goodness in times of our greatest need and mankind's greatest need. You know, sometimes the light shines the brightest in the darkest hour. Do you know that? It really is true. And it speaks in Proverbs about that the lightness of the righteous will shine brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. And I love that because it's like God's saying his people are going to shine And they're going to carry his light, and they're going to carry his glory. Not like light bulbs in the sky, as we heard this week, but carry his character, carry his nature, carry the fruit of the Spirit. Man, that person's kind. Where did they get that kindness from? Man, that person's loving. Hey, hi, welcome. So good to have you guys. Sorry you got locked out. But so it's good, friends, just to be able to celebrate the goodness of our God. And I was reminded, even as Ian McKellar talked about Dunkirk. Now, how many of you have watched that movie Dunkirk, and is it The Darkest Hour? So both of those films depict very similar things. And I've read this particular backstory, and I just want to share with you, because the world doesn't really recognize what happened there. There was 400,000 men trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk. That's an army, friends. That's an army. Don't think many countries have that big an army. And it was at that point, in their most desperate hour, there were 700 boats of all shapes and sizes that went to rescue them. An armada, it's like a whole, I mean, the German army miraculously stopped for 2 days. Hitler was furious. He, you know, even others say his decisions around that time were confused. It defied logic. For the army to be evacuated was nothing short of miraculous. Even Winston Churchill coming to power. I mean, he was a failed Lord of the Admiralty. He had messed up. First World War, he didn't have the best kind of record of success, especially in the Gallipoli campaign and things that went wrong. And anyway, he was elected. He was God's appointed person. God appoints kings and brings them down and steers them like a water course where he wants to. And I think there was an answer to prayer, because there was appeasement and there was all sorts of things at that time. They almost wanted to roll over. And he said, how can you negotiate with a tiger when your mouth is in its head? Well, I mean, your head is in its mouth. Your mouth is in its head. Your head is in its mouth. You are listening. You can't negotiate. You know, you've got to actually do something. And so what happened was Rhys Howells had come out of the Welsh Revival. And here was a guy who had gone into the nation, served in Africa, come back, and then had, by faith, you know, I think his George Mueller was his inspiration. And he just believed God can provide. And he had literally nothing in his pocket. I think he prayed for 11 months for a particular property. He had nothing. He had shillings in his pocket. And they got this facility that accommodated more than 100 students, and they made it into the Welsh Bible College. And so he came, I mean, listen, May the 28th, he was alone with God. He said, "We must pray for the Lord to keep the enemy in check. He's like a roaring lion." And he prayed for God to intervene at Dunkirk and save our men. And as the Spirit came upon them in prayer and supplication, one prayed at the end, expressed the assurance given to all. I feel sure something has happened. They felt something change in the atmosphere. They felt something release. On May the 29th was the day of the evacuation of Dunkirk. And you see, even on May the 26th, there was a national day of prayer called. So it was building. It wasn't just 100 students praying. There was a nation called to prayer. And then it says on May 29th, the day of the evacuation of Dunkirk, a calm, friends, came upon the sea, that these tiny boats could get across a sea. Even the smallest boats were able to be part of the rescue and complete the evacuation of the troops. On May the 30th, from a worldly standpoint, this is what he was recorded in his journal saying, "There's no hope of victory, but God has said it. I could not come tonight and ask him to intervene, because we've already said he's going to intervene. Instead of bad news about our soldiers, if he is on the field of battle, he can change that and can make it very good news. He can change that and make it very good news. Oh, for God to lift us tonight. We are not to run into any panic thinking the Nazis are going to win. Germany must be delivered, as well as England and France." You see, he didn't just see Germans as the enemy. He saw there was a power at force at work there. And he recognized even Germany must be delivered. And we may go through far greater sufferings yet, but I'm not going to doubt the final issue. We state in plainest terms, the enemy will not invade Christian England. Amen. Man, that's a declaration of faith. And in many ways, that the nation rallied. Yes, there was rousing speeches, but there was somehow faith and hope, the power of God to see things change. And even as God said to Solomon, "If my people call by my name," 2 Chronicles 7:14, what will happen? "If my people are called by my name and will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Wow. Friends, that's still true today. It's not just the Second World War when there was a crisis. It's still true today. And we as a people are believing for prayer, to mobilize prayer. Greater things are yet to come in this city. Greater things are yet to come in this nation. I believe that. The best is yet to come. God is still on the throne. We're going to get into, I'm running ahead. But friends, there's a prayer initiative on that table. Some of you would have got prayer bookmarks last week. And I want to encourage you, just mobilizing prayer. Because God seldom moves outside of the spirit of prayer and power of prayer and answers prayer. God is sovereign, and we will look at that. 10 things that are certain and unshakable that you can build your life upon. And Roy Lesson has been somebody who's really inspired some of these. But I just want to share with you, God has a purpose for your life. That's ground zero. Amen. Number one, God has a purpose. No, excellent. You're alive today, here, now. You are here by God's choosing. You are born for such a time as this in history to fulfill His purpose in this generation. He's given you all the light you need to know His will. He's given you all the grace you need to do His will. And if you're committed to His will, there's nothing you can keep from it. Nothing that will keep you from it. That's the power of God. God is large and in charge. Secondly, God isn't in recess. I wanted to try and use that fancy word that when they break up parliament for a while. Anyway, I was going to just say, God's not doing that. God's not doing that. God's not retreated somewhere in the universe. He's today where He's always been. And where is that? On His throne. There's no king or ruler that has more authority than God. There's no political figure that has more influence than God. There's no nation that has more control than God. No one can outthink Him. No one can outsmart Him. He's God Almighty. His hands are the safest hands that you can put your life into. And I suppose many of these tie in together. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Nothing can stop His plan or frustrate His purposes. Think about that for a moment. God is not worried about what will happen or what He will be able to do or not do. Nothing takes Him by surprise. God looks into the future and He's already there. He sees He knows. He knows where He's leading your life, and He knows how to get you there if you will trust Him. You see, God doesn't make mistakes, and God doesn't change His mind. Yeah. I had to be challenged by that because there's many times I can change my mind. And did God really say? Yes, God, You did say. Why have I changed my mind? It's like, what has God said? I believe it. That should settle it. God said it. It's like, I heard a testimony last night of someone speaking to someone saying, are you believing your experience or are you believing the word of God, the truth? And that takes us to the next point. God's word is dependable. We can't base our theology or reduce our theology on our experience. We can't reduce God to what we think or not, our opinions. We've got to say, God, Your word is Your word and it's truth. All scripture is God's written word, inspired, absolute, authoritative, God-breathed. I love this. It's 100% reliable because God is 100% infallible.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will remain. It cannot be destroyed. As hard as men try, they cannot succeed in refuting or disputing the scriptures. They stand over each man's grave as a living testimony to all that is true, righteous, and eternal. How many of you have heard of the French philosopher Voltaire? He once said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. How presumptuous is that? You see, 100 years after his death, the French Bible Society had set its headquarters in Voltaire's old home in Paris. God's not to be mocked. It's not like God's going to say, oh, my goodness. Yeah, the lost love. You know that when a new sovereign is given a Bible at their coronation, it's with these words, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that the world affords. Here is wisdom. Here is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. You can't set the bar much higher than that. No wonder the Queen's called the defender of the faith. Fifthly, you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else, the word says, will be shaken, but you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You see, throughout history, kings have been overthrown. Leaders have fallen from power. Kingdoms have been conquered. Armies have been defeated. Riches have been depleted, and fortresses have been toppled over. It's only in the kingdom of God that we find rest and security. There's no rebellion that can break down the gates of the kingdom. No weapon that can penetrate its borders. No warrior that can come against its king. The way of the kingdom is where your feet can walk, and the truth of the kingdom is where your faith can embrace, is what your faith can embrace. And the love of the kingdom is what your heart can give away. Yes. Sixthly, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. We sang of that tonight. Oh, today. The rugged cross. You see, when Jesus came, he came to shed his blood to save you, to cleanse you, to forgive you, deliver you from the power of darkness and the enemy. His blood has bought you, and no enemy can claim, put a claim upon your life. You are his and his alone. As a child of God, you purchased with his blood. He takes full responsibility for you. He does. Why do I love my children? Because they're mine. Why does God love you? Because you're his. You can't be an unchild. Because of his blood, your future is secure. Your inheritance awaits you, and your destiny is certain. And then the last few points. Seventh, God has given you all you need to serve him. I don't know if you feel sometimes that you feel inadequate, or you feel that you lack something, or you feel, God, I'm shortchanged. I just don't know if I have what it takes. But you see, the grace of God covers you. The presence of God is in you. The angels of God are with you. The armies of God are all around you. The gifts of God are for you. The power of God is upon you. Wow. He has not abandoned you nor left you in this world as an orphan, alone and forsaken. God is for you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is with you, and all the heavenly hosts are on your side. And that means you're on the winning side. Yes. And eighthly, Jesus Christ is coming back. Yes. Soon and very soon. The outcome of all things has been determined. And he is victorious. He is victorious. Amen. The eternal reigning champion of the world. Without rival in the universe, no evil, no outlaw, no terrorist, no anarchist will be standing in the end. Every enemy of God will be defeated. Every false prophet will be exposed. Every evil spirit will be chained. Every accusing tongue will be silenced. You see, the final chapter in the book of life has been written. There will be no rewrites, and there will be no revisions. All that remains is for the writings to be fulfilled. And for you in Christ, one day you'll be with him forever and ever and ever. God loves you and will not fail you. You are God's child, and he is your father. He loves you and cares for you more than you will ever, ever, ever know. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It's so high, you can't get over it. You're so low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. You see, these children's songs carry truths. If only we would just remember them. You see, when you go, this love will not fail you. It will never give up. It will never run out. When you go through trials, he'll keep you from defeat. And when you face temptations, he'll give you a way out and keep you from shame. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it says he will raise up a standard against the enemy. He will raise up a standard of righteousness, a standard, and you can trust him. And then the last point, Jesus Christ will never let you go as you trust him with your life. Nothing can pluck you out of his hand. He is with you always. You need not fear any evil. I love that picture of a vase with your hand in that vase. It's like nothing can penetrate lest the Lord allow. It's like my life is hidden in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he's preparing a place for you. And when he's praying for you, his prayers are being answered. Do you know that? And when he said, in my Father's house are many rooms, he wasn't lying. And I go ahead to prepare a place for you. Must be some place. 2,000 years. He's preparing a place. And he's coming for you. Your name, if you ever doubt that, your name is engraved in the palms of his hand. His grace, friends, is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. Where he leads, he will feed. Where he guides, he will provide. I know those can just be cliches, but they're truths, friends. In troubled times, he'll be your security. In uncertain times, he will be your guidance. In fearful times, he'll be your peace. You'll never face a day without him. You'll never take a step without his presence beside you, walking beside you. You'll never face a need that he cannot supply. You'll never face a circumstance that he can't bring you through. Could be my battery. Back. 1, 2. It's working. Sort of. Yes. You'll never face a circumstance that he can't bring you through. And so, friends, I know that pictures speak. And we started with the gospel road or the Roman road to salvation. And I'm just going to mention very few points here. And it's good because, friends, if we have a gospel confidence, we can speak to people. That's the saddest thing for me, that 90% of Christians will never share their faith and lead someone to Christ. And we've got to do fertility classes. We've got to change that statistic. We've got to turn that around, that you could share your testimony. And this week, Chris shared his testimony. Faith was, if you mind me just interjecting, Faith was awake at 3:34 in the morning, and he thought, no, I've got to let my wife rest. It's a good father, eh? So he took her to the Premier Inn lobby, which is tiny, and then started to talk to the guy there and started to share his testimony about overcoming the fear of death, and just shared with him his life story. Friends, there's opportunities, providential opportunities that God brings across our path, divine encounters, if you want to call it that. And God wants to help us have a gospel confidence that we can share and we can just tell people our testimony. It's a great starting place. If you haven't prepared your testimony, there's some little sheets there that can help you, just the way that Paul did it in the book of Acts and how he broke down. My life before coming to Christ was like this, and now this is how I came to Christ, and now this is what my life looks like. It's just helpful handles to prepare your testimony. But these pictures are helpful. God's plan is peace with God and life with God. And so you've got a picture of the world with Jesus and life and love and peace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and I, whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can remember one scripture, that's a good one to remember. Just the picture of Christ over all. That rugged cross that we sang about. Being at peace with God's not automatic, because by nature all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as we heard earlier, and are separated from God. So this leads us to the second. Our problem is separation. In whatever you share in the gospel, you've got to start with the first thing is that God has a plan. God has a hope. God has life. But there's a problem. There's separation. And then God's remedy, the cross. God's love, it bridges the gap of separation. It bridges the gap of separation between you and God. You see, when he died on the cross and rose from the grave, he paid the penalty for our sins. He personally carried the load of your sins in his body when he died on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. Almost that cross became the bridge, that load. He carried the load. He carried the penalty for our sins in his body. That's the Living Bible translation. And then our response to receive Christ. We're just simply four things that you can reach out. If somebody, as you, what I would call low-hanging fruit or ripe fruit, and they're ready to, because they recognize their need. They recognize there's a separation. They recognize there's a problem. And they want to say, yes, I admit I have a spiritual need. I am a sinner. And yes, I do need to repent, and I do need to ask God's forgiveness and turn from sin. It's turning away and it's from sin. It's turning to God. That's what repentance is. Change of heart, mind, direction. And then to believe. Can remember, believe and receive. First thing is to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross, and then receive through prayer Jesus into your heart and life. And I trust, you know, you may be visiting this morning. You may have never prayed a prayer of commitment. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And I want to encourage you right now. If you, the Word of God says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And there's a public declaration of faith that's necessary. Don't believe you can be silent for too long if you truly give your heart to Jesus. You truly recognize your need and ask His forgiveness. So I wonder, even as we, in this moment, won't you close your eyes and possibly just allow. And if you're a believer here this morning, I would encourage you to pray. His love is reaching out. His truth is reaching out. If you believe what you've heard this morning is truth, then respond in this way. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins, and I choose to turn from my sins. I want to invite you into my heart, and I want to invite you into my life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord, as Savior, and as King. Be my Master. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the gospel's simple, friends. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him. That's a beautiful promise from Romans 15. And I feel it's in these times, God wants to bring hope to the hopeless. God wants to bring hope to the hopeless. You hold out the word of life. You are the hope of this world. You are the hope of this world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a hope in you. And He fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in, that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflowing with hope. No matter what goes down, no matter what happens, people watch you. They want to see, is this really real? Is this really true? What are you standing on? When times get tough, and I believe things are being shaken. We know that. But it's where you stand and on whom you stand. Do you trust in yourself or do you trust in Him? Amen.